Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us as always. And welcome to the show. And if you haven't joined us before, Know Your Risk Radio, we're addressing investing, the markets, but looking at things, or we try to anyway, if I don't get sidetracked, which happens, but we're looking at things through the lens of risk management. Now, what is that? I think that a lot of people sit there and think of risk as loss. I think a lot of people think of risk and naturally shudder, right? They don't want risk. They don't like it. And they assign it simply to negative outcomes. And we try to spin that on its head a little bit, look at risk a different way. But basically, a good summation of that, or a good summary of what how we look at risk and what we see as risk management, is making sure that our clients and our clients' portfolios are getting the most bang for their buck, which means putting their money in places where it will do, where it will make the most or have the most upside potential while taking the least amount of risk possible, right? Seems simple. Unfortunately, the modern world of finance and the modern world of financial advisors doesn't do that, as crazy as that sounds. And we got a couple great examples of it. And if you're just joining us for the first time, we try to talk about this stuff every week. Right, we try to wake clients up to the realities of what's going on in the markets and finance. We also try to wake clients up to the idea, or prospective clients or listeners, up to the idea that this isn't your grandmother's market. It's not your grandmother's economy. The different steps need to be taken. And we do it in somewhat controversial ways. I think my voice just cracked a little bit. Did you hear that, Darren? Man, I'm going back in time. Oh, you know what I'm thinking about, too? I forgot something. Something very important. 8 years ago this morning, at a, I believe it was 6:41 a.m., 8 years ago, my life changed forever. My first daughter, my princess Avery, was born. Today is her eighth birthday. And just want to wish her a happy birthday. I love you, princess. And we're having a house full of girls over tonight. Should be a wild ride. Anyway, I just want to make sure I didn't forget that. But now getting back to what we were discussing. So we've got a segment, and I'm actually going to do it next, where I thought somebody made some really excellent points about risk. And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that up. So the next segment, we're going to focus on risk management. And we're going to talk about the most risky part of your portfolio and whether or not that risk is compensating you, right? So it's the baby. And there's the other aspect of it, too. We don't mind risk. Risk is not a bad thing. We've got risk everywhere, all the time, in every aspect of our lives. We just don't know it usually, or we don't recognize it. And risk is fine as long as we're being compensated, right? The good has to outweigh the bad, or what are we doing, right? But before we do all that, we always start with the market update, so let's get into it. This whole sideways action, this boring phase of the market, where it seemed like pretty much every asset class was just going sideways, except, of course, for big tech companies. And we're going to get into that later in the show as well. And that we will talk about big tech companies in our passive investing part of the show. We're going to do a segment about passive investing today, and how you're not as safe as you think you are. I think passive, and we'll get into the definitions of it. I think passive, to some degree, has a role to play in nearly every portfolio. And I think it should be a part of a portfolio. Unlike a lot of guys, though, that worship at the church of passive index investing, I also believe that active management should be a part of a portfolio. Why? We'll discuss that. Okay, but let's stick with the market update. That sideways grind, that what we refer to as boring market, it seems to have changed. Now, the indexes may not have shown it, but they have to some degree, because we've had some big downward moves on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And oh, by the way, did you know that the Dow was down, I believe, 8 straight days in a row until yesterday, Friday, which is the longest losing streak, I want to say, in 40 years? Now, it wasn't down big. It had 1 or 2 days where it was down 100 or more points, some big downward moves. It's negative for the week, but that was interesting. That's a pretty remarkable negative stretch. Oil is exploding, up 5% Friday alone. It's pressing up against that 70 level. Why is that important? Because if oil continues to accelerate at the same time, I digress. Let me address oil in this way. Oil is built into the cost of almost every single thing we do and buy, right? Whether you know it or not. Again, oil affects grocery prices. Oil affects housing to some degree. Oil's all around us. And for the last year or so, 2 years really, we've had what has been referred to as synchronized global growth. It's the first time it's happened in a really long time, where pretty much all developed market economies were showing positive growth and accelerating growth all at the same time, right? About 4 months ago, that kind of stalled, and it's starting to go the other way. The reason that we're keeping an eye on that is, A, the world economy, especially the United States, is extremely overdue for a recession. Don't let the word recession scare you. They're very normal. They're very healthy. The thing that concerns us about the next recession is it could be very extreme. Now, I realize that I'm a guy on the radio. You don't know me. And the other thing is that you know, essentially we're on the radio talking about our firm, Bulwark Capital Management. People call into the firm, they become clients. I think a lot of clients that listen to the show, or a lot of listeners that listen to the show, are somewhat jaded, and rightfully so, about the things that we talk about or that they hear on other finance shows, because of the phenomena of talking your book, or, you know, creating an issue, trying to get people to call, trying to get clients, right? A sales pitch. So one of the things that we talk about on this show is that you're not going to hear me pontificate or run off at the mouth about things that I don't know about, and stuff that's just my opinion, right? I want to bring you really good, solid facts. So if when you hear me talk about this recession, I want you to look up a guy named Paul Tudor Jones, who's one of the most famous investment hedge fund managers, successful hedge fund managers in the last 40 years. Brilliant guy. He came out and gave a couple talks over the last 2 weeks where he said, look, I don't see a recession as being imminent, but the next recession is very scary. And the reason it's going to be very scary is because of the amount of debt and the fact that we can't shock the market in a positive way by lowering interest rates to zero. The Fed could raise. Now, the Fed's still at about 1.5% Fed funds rate, so they could go to zero, but it's not going to have very much impact. And the reason it's not going to have very much impact is look what's happened to corporate yields, right, on corporate debt. They haven't really risen with Fed funds rate. They've been relatively unaffected. Rates have gone up a little bit. Bonds have lost a little value. We've talked about that at great length. But there's not, when we went into the great financial collapse, I want to say that we went into it with the Fed funds rate around 3.5 or 4. So dropping the Fed funds rate from 3.5 to 4 to 0, that was a big deal. It repriced a lot of debt. It made debt cheaper. It allowed companies to roll their debt at cheaper prices. If the Fed cut to zero again, it wouldn't have an effect. They're not able to positively shock the market anymore with interest rate hikes. And when you've got the world's largest stack of debt that we've talked about at great lengths pretty much every episode, when you've got the world's largest stack of debt in human history, that's a problem. And I don't want you to just take my word for it. We're not gloom and doom, but go, you should read it. Educate yourselves. Go look up Paul Tudor Jones. Go read some of the interviews that he's given over the last couple weeks. Brilliant guy. He doesn't see a recession as imminent. I don't either. But it's getting closer. And like I said, that rate of growth as far as the world economies goes is getting more sluggish. It's slowing down a little bit. And all these are things that we need to keep an eye on when we've got record high stock prices, record high real estate prices, record amounts of debt unlike the world has ever seen, record high bond prices, right? These are things that we want to pay attention to. So anyway, the reason oil is a big deal, getting back to that, that was kind of a reroute, if you will. But the reason oil is a big deal is because, like I said, right, we've been watching inflation. Inflation tends to make oil prices go up, right? Oil is denominated in U.S. dollars in most of the world. And typically, oil accompanies a weakening dollar. Now, when you see growth, so and it, the other thing is that oil should correspond with growth. As growth rates pick up, people need more oil. More trucks are on the roads. People are taking more vacations, driving longer distances, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So typically, you see oil going up with rising growth. Now, what we've seen that somewhat concerns us is, like I said, this slowing of the world economy, but at the same time, oil is going up in price. Those are two conflicting things you don't want to see happen. Because as growth is slowing down, you don't want input costs to business, which oil is probably the number one input cost to every, you know, if you looked at all business in the world, you know, different businesses are different, obviously. But it's probably the number one input cost for all businesses if you average it out. And so when the cost of oil is rising at the same time growth is slowing down, that's a concern. Right? Growth is slowing down. We're selling less stuff. At the same time, our costs are going up. Not something we want to see. Inflation continues to tick up. Gold is looking, gold looks a little sick. Now, if we own gold, a lot of our clients own gold as a long-term investment. We don't really care. We're not gold traders. Okay. We don't want to own a lot right now because gold is a really tricky deal. And I don't want to get into when to buy it because that can be interpreted as a recommendation. But and it's funny because I sit down with a lot of clients who sit there or a lot of people, a lot of listeners who sit there and go, no, I don't like gold. I don't believe in gold. And to be sure, we're not gold bugs. Right? We're not advocating that you have half your assets in gold or a quarter. But I think I talked about it on the show over the last, since 1998. And the people that don't like gold cite the fact that stocks outperform and this and that and blah, 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 right? Since 1998, gold has actually outperformed the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The Dow Jones. Not by a lot, but it's beat it. Net of fees. Interesting. The other interesting thing is, and one of the reasons we like gold, is it's really non-correlated to the markets, and typically gold does best when markets are bad, so it makes it a wonderful diversifier, right? And, oh man, I could go on about this stuff forever. That brings up another diversification topic, but we're going to talk about diversification and why we have diversification. And I think a lot of you that probably listen to that, even educated investors out there that are listening to this, sit there and go, well, we have diversification to limit losses. Nah. No, we don't. It's what a lot of even financial advisors say. That's a benefit of proper diversification, but that's not really the reason. Okay? So anyway, we got to get rolling. I've gone over in this entrance, but to sum it up, what's going on in the markets, we are watching inflation cues. Oil is blowing up to the upside, up 5% Friday alone. Coming off a big run, we had OPEC trim production, so that plays a part as well. We got markets kind of going up and down, some volatility picking up. And we're going to carry this over because there's been some, like I said, some really interesting, crazy stuff happening in the markets. We're going to address that coming up. But one of the things that we're going to talk about next segment is going to be exclusively on risks and the biggest risk in your portfolio that you're probably unaware of. How's that for a teaser? But seriously, not trying to... The biggest risk you as an investor are probably looking at right now and don't even realize it. That's going to come up in our next segment. As always, if you are interested in how we do things, if you are interested in how we lower risk, lower cost, and increase upside in our clients' accounts and in our clients' IRAs, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We can set up a meeting in person. You can email us. Go to the website. We've got to, you know, email us. I think it's invest@bulwarkcapitalmgmt.com. You can also access our podcast page. The other thing you can do, and I forgot to mention this last week, sign up for the free newsletter. Go to the website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, and you can, you know, sign up for the free newsletter. We will not use your information. We will not send it to anybody else. We will not call you. We will not harass you. It's completely complimentary, but we try to put really more extensive market updates basically once a month to our clients, and anybody can sign up for our client newsletter. We've got charts. It's even more meaty than what we talk about on the show. So if you're a an investing wonk or nerd like I am, we try to make it a good read and try to, you know, put in good information in there. So anyway, 866-779-RISK. We can also do phone consultations where we do a side-by-side comparison showing you historic performance over the last year, 5 and 10 years of our portfolios and how we put them together compared to what you currently have, and show you that there's a better way. So, as I said, give us a call, go to the website, and hopefully we hear from you soon. But stay tuned because we've got that biggest risk coming up next in your portfolio that you're probably unaware of. Anyway, stick with us. Got to take a quick break. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking with us. And before we get into this segment, I teased it a little bit. We're going to talk about the biggest risk that you're unaware of. I've talked about it before, but want to put a different spin on it. Before we get into that, though, we've been having tons of people emailing in. And for whatever reason, maybe they don't want to call. Maybe they don't want us to have their phone number, even though I promise you we're not going to call you. You know, that was one of the things Dory talked about and I talked about when he endorsed us. He wanted to make sure, he's like, you're not going to call people over and over. And I go, no, that's not how we do things. But anyway, we've been having clients email in a lot. And if you've emailed in before and you haven't heard back from us, first of all, I want to apologize because I've actually spoke to a lot of people that say that. We did not know it. I am not a tech guy. Okay. I am not a guy that can build a website. I'm a guy that can barely use one. I'm technologically illiterate, as my wife says. But anyway, the email me or the email function on our other internet or our other website was not working. It is now. We've got the brand new website updated, which you can go to KnowYourRiskRadio.com is a radio show website, but it feeds right to our regular website. But if you emailed us in the past and you didn't hear back from us, shoot us another email. I apologize. We are getting them now. And we were shocked to see how many people did email that we never knew about because of the flow of emails we're getting now. So shoot us an email. Go to the website. You can email us directly from the website, and we will respond to you. So now getting into one of the biggest risks you face and probably, are unaware of it. Want to approach this through a talking about an interview I listen to. I drive a lot. One of the things that we do because of traffic and time, we go to clients. We don't have you, you know, we don't sit there and tell you to all come to our same location. We go to clients. Some clients want to drive out and see us. That's fine. I love it if you want to come see us because I'm not on the road, but we go to clients. So I've got a lot of time in the road. A lot of time, more than I'd like to. So anyway, one of the things that I do is I do a lot of my research through listening to podcasts, financial news, all that kind of stuff in the car. And one of the interviews I listened to this week was on a podcast by a guy named Meb Faber, kind of a weird name, really smart guy, though, runs a fund. And he was interviewing Ken Fisher. For those of you that don't know Ken Fisher, you've probably heard of Fisher Investments. I'm a Fisher guy, you know, the commercials. And I've got a lot of thoughts about Ken Fisher, so I'm going to try to keep it concise, okay? One of the things, I disagree with Ken Fisher on a lot of things. I agree with him on some. One of the things that I completely agree with him is they got into a really fascinating conversation about risk. And you know my ears perked up, right? Know Your Risk Radio. And I've said it a million times before. The subject of risk as it relates to human behavior and / investing has always been fascinating to me and always will be. It's one of the most fascinating parts of the job. But they got into an interesting conversation of risk. And Ken Fisher has written extensively, and I actually agree with him on this, that bonds are more risky than stocks. Now, when you first say that, most people look at you like you've got a third eye coming out of your head, because how do we define risk? We define risk by loss, right? Bonds can lose money. As a matter of fact, we talk about it again at great length on many of the shows. You can go to our podcast page and listen to us talk about bonds. I rage against them all the time. Bonds can lose money, but it doesn't happen very often. It's going to start happening a lot more often because of rising interest rates. Interest rates go up, bonds go down in value. We all know that. Hopefully, we all know that by now. But and then we see shocks like 2008, where bonds dropped, you know, more than 20% in the same year where the markets dropped more than 20%. That was the first time that had happened since the Great Depression. But he wasn't even looking at it that way. He said unequivocally, bonds are more risky than stocks in general. And he was not talking about rising interest rates. And the reason he said that was if you can get past the short-term volatility, right? If you define risk by what happens over the next 6 months, then you probably see bonds as less risky than stocks. And in terms of loss of capital, I would agree with you over a short timeline. But if we look at the long-term performance rate of stocks versus bonds, it's not even close. And if we could pull the emotion out of it and look at stocks versus bonds on a 60, 70, 80 year time horizon, we would see that, you know, if you looked at those charts and you didn't know anything about investing, you would sit there and go, wow, this is over 80 years. Well, I want to be all stocks. Why would anybody do that? Right? And there's a variety of different reasons. And bonds do have a place as an alternative to cash. I'm not saying no bonds all the time. But what we commonly see is that clients have way too much. Just way too much. Now, Ken Fisher was talking about this outside of an interest rate discussion. He was just talking about long-term return averages of the two different investments. And he wasn't even bringing up where we sit with interest rates right now. listen, guys, if you have a portfolio that's got 40% or 35% or 30% or more in bonds, give us a call. Because your advisor, regardless of what they tell you, they're asleep on the job. Now, we're going to have a conversation later in the show about diversification. I am certainly not saying you should be all stocks all the time. And I completely disagree with Ken Fisher. The other thing is, if you're a Fisher investor, also give us a call. You can do a lot better really easily and pay far less in fees than Fisher Investments. And that's nothing against them. I don't think they're a bad shop. I don't think they do a bad job. But they're pretty high fees, and there's no justification for it. They do not outperform the S&P 500. They go 8, 9, 10-year stretches without outperforming the S&P 500. There's no reason. I'm not bagging on them, I'm not running them down, not running Ken Fisher down. There's just no reason for the portfolio. It doesn't outperform the S&P 500, and it pays you a lot, and it costs a lot. You're paying a lot and not getting much. The other thing I disagree about that approach is, unlike Ken Fisher, I could not disagree with him more on the idea that you should be 100% stocks all the time. And he talks about the long-term return averages, but like we say, and one of the things, and I have a lot of respect for Ken Fisher because he's brought a lot of great insight into the job. He's done a lot of good things. He's written some really good books with great information, and he basically discovered the whole price-to-sales ratio in terms of looking at stocks. Price to revenue is another way of saying it, which is we compare the price of stocks to total revenue, total sales. But what I completely disagree with him about is that long-term return assumption being 100% stocks all the time. And I've got one illustration that I would use, and it's one illustration that I would use to Ken Fisher if I was debating him on this topic. If you were 100% stocks all the time and you retired in 1930, you had a miserable 20 years. And it probably broke you. And then Ken Fisher would say, well, that's an outlier. That's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of event. Listen, your retirement is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Nothing should be able to upset your retirement plans. Right? You think it's the one thing that we've worked our entire life for. Therefore, we have a need for diversification. You have to be able to retire and fund your retirement no matter what happens. When you look at a client in 1930 or 1931, and you just lost them 85% of their money 6 months before they retired because of the Great Depression, when you look at them and tell them in that environment, look, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, what does that change? Nothing. They're still financially ruined. They can't retire. And it kills me. I've heard a lot of advisors say that about 2008, 2009. Well, you can't really look at that. That's a one-off. So because it's a one-off event, you didn't lose 60% of your money? You were still able to retire on time? You never had to go get a second job? You never had to go back to work? If you hear an advisor say that, or you hear somebody tell you that, oh, we don't look at those one-off, listen, your portfolio has to survive anything. One-off events cannot be subject to the ill effects of one-off events. Because listen to me, they will happen. The other thing to think about, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. How long ago did the Great Depression happen? About 90 years, right? 90 years is a lifetime. I'm not predicting the Great Depression. Don't get me wrong. Now, getting back to what Ken Fisher originally said, though, I completely agree with him in bonds, especially when you've got record low interest rates. And most of you that are listening to this show or interested in this show are probably looking at, are either retired or probably looking at retirement at some point in the next 10 years. And the common way of doing things is the closer we get to retirement, the more we get in bonds. It's horrible. It's essentially going to be a guaranteed loser because of interest rates going up. Not only that, but do you feel good about paying somebody 1% or 1.5% a year to manage an investment that's making you 2%? If you're lucky, it hasn't, it's lost you money over the last 2 years. So if you've got a portfolio where you're sitting there looking at a pile of bonds, and that's because you told the advisor, well, it's my fault, Zach. I told the advisor I want to be conservative. Yeah, and your advisor is supposed to give you ways that make sense to be conservative. It doesn't mean, it's not this binary thing, right, where, well, it's either stocks or bonds. There are other things you can use. And if that's the situation you are in your portfolio, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. We'll show you our bond replacement. We talk about it all the time. Dirtiest word in investing. What is it? It's annuity. Are we talking the traditional annuities that you're thinking of that everybody says are so horrible, blah, blah, blah? No. We're talking about something that has no fees, no upfront fees, no management costs, gives you 50 to 60% of the upside in the stock market, and it's insured against loss. Averages between 6 to 7% over the last 30 years. That's a bond replacement. Are they right for everybody? No. Just had a client this week. Came on. He met with him. Yeah, I love what you guys are doing. What are you talking about? He was too young. He said, well, what about those annuities, those guaranteed against loss? I said, no, you're too young, too far away from retirement. They're not for everybody. We're not an annuity shop. But as a way to balance risk, diversification, give you a solid return, alternative to cash, things like that, that safe part of your portfolio that's there no matter what, that prevents a Great Depression type scenario from happening or affecting your retirement, they're phenomenal. Lower your cost, increase your upside. They're going to, I mean, when you look at bonds and you stack them up to these products, it's like a one-legged man in a tail-kicking contest, right? Bonds literally can't compete. And I'm not making predictions about returns. I'm just saying we need to be aware of this. You cannot afford to have 40% of your money making less than the inflation rate. Most of, a lot of you do. 50%, 60%. I've even seen 75% in bonds. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can get our free Common Sense booklet. You can set up a 15-minute phone consultation with me. You can go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com. Email us directly if you'd rather do a correspondence over email. We got a ton of ways. Oh, also with the website, too. Go to the website, sign up for the free newsletter. You'll see a button right on there. You'll be able to sign up for our free newsletter, get a little more in-depth stuff, send it out once a month to clients and listeners alike. But seriously, go look at your portfolio. And you have to look at, not just don't look for a blinking sign that says bonds. You're not going to see it. But if you see something called a balance fund, that usually has 30 to 35% bonds in it. If you see anything about income, bonds. If you see stable fund, bonds, you've got them. Most people don't think they do. You've got them. Another easy way to tell is if you look at your portfolio and you made less than, man, 18 or 19% last year net of fees, you've got bonds. Or you've just got somebody that's really bad at managing your money. Okay? That's another easy way to tell. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We're going to be right back. Talk about diversification and some interesting anomalies we've seen in the market this week. Thank you for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott, host of Long Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday at 7. And Brian, before signing up for a plan, I attended one of your classes with my wife, learned how passionate you are about what you do and how you love to teach people about the importance of long term care planning.
You know, I really do love educating people, Dory.
You know, why is that?
Well, someone took the time to educate my grandmother about long term care, which meant she got the level of care she deserved, but it also meant my mom didn't have to give up her life to be a caregiver. You know, Dory, it taught me firsthand that long-term care planning protects you and the people you care about most.
Yeah, that's exactly why my wife and I put a plan in place with Brian and why I recommend you do the same. Start by joining Brian at his next long-term care planning class and learn about the most innovative plans available, like the one I got. It's going to pay me back whether I use it or not. Don't miss Brian's next class. It's Thursday, July 19th at 7 p.m. in Bellevue. There are only a few seats left, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you that are just joining us, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com. It'll take you directly to our website. Sign up for our free newsletter, request a meeting, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, want to get into this discussion about some interesting things that have happened in the market. And the reason I just brought up the newsletter again is because we go into depth on this. And if you want a good, well, I hope it's a good read. Everybody seems to like it. But we dive into things that we talk about on the show. We just go into greater detail about them in the newsletter. And I pick, you know, two or three things a month to really go into. And one of the things that I want to talk about is A, passive investing, and B, crazy anomalies we're seeing in the market that are really unlike anything we've ever seen before. And we address this specifically in this email, complete with charts, so we can show you exactly what it is that we're talking about. What is the anomaly that's going on in the marketplace? Okay, so we all know what market action has been doing. It's kind of been going sideways, but the S&P has been on basically a vertical run to infinity over the last 9 years. Pretty crazy. Second longest bull market in U.S. history. Right there as the biggest bull market in terms of the move from bottom to top. And there have been a couple new things. One of the biggest things that's different about this market run-up compared to other ones in the past is passive investing. Now, or using index funds. And I think I gloss over this too quickly, again, because I do it for a living, and I forget sometimes that you guys don't. So what is passive investing? Passive investing is where we buy a stock market like or an index like the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones Industrial, and instead of paying a mutual fund manager or somebody like me to pick which stocks you should have in your portfolio, you just buy them all. And the reason, meaning that, you know, the S&P 500 is an index made up of 500 stocks, and the biggest stock in the S&P 500 is Apple, and it has the biggest percentage weight in the index. I think it's around 5%. And then every stock that goes down the line in order of biggest to smallest, you know, maybe the next stock has a 4.8% weight in the S&P, and then as the stocks get smaller, they've got a smaller percentage weighting in the S&P 500. So a passive indexing fund or passive investing just buys that index. So you own every single stock in the S&P 500. The idea behind that was brought forth by a guy by the name of Jack Bogle, Vanguard Investments. Really done a lot to revolutionize the industry. But the whole idea behind that was 93% of mutual fund managers underperform the index. And they charge you a fee. Right? Why not pay the fee and get market performance rather than paying a fee to underperform the market, right? Sounds pretty basic, sounds pretty smart. So because of that, passive indexing has gotten really popular. Is it a fail-proof? Absolutely not. One of the interesting things we've seen with passive investing is some anomalies, like I teased, coming into this segment. And one of the anomalies we've seen is that bigger companies toward the top of the index have bizarrely high, looking at it historically, this isn't my opinion, right? It's fact, but historically high valuations. And it's had a lot of people scratching their head. And I'll tell you exactly why this has occurred. It's occurred mainly, I mean, there's other reasons involved. There's always multiple reasons for things, right? There's usually not one silver bullet. But one of the biggest reasons this anomaly has taken place is because of passive indexing. Every time we buy a passive indexing fund, we're buying Apple. We're buying Facebook. And remember, if Apple's the biggest company, it makes up 5% weighting in the S&P 500, then every dollar we put in there, Apple is, it's buying Apple stock. That index has to own exactly the same stocks that are in the index. And the majority of the money goes to the stocks at the top of the index, and it's created this what we call reflexive loop, meaning it's a cycle that feeds on itself. The more the money goes into passive, the more the passive indexing is, the more money that's buying, you know, the stocks at the top of the market. And so you've seen these stocks that typically we'd look at as, you know, pretty cheap value type plays, kind of boring. You've seen them just with this meteoric rise. And it's created some concerns because one of the other issues with passive indexing, and like I said, I believe passive should be involved in every portfolio. I'm not bagging on it. I think it's been a wonderful thing for the most part. But there's a sense of confidence out there with passive indexing investors, and they're not seeing the potential pitfalls. First of all, most passive index investors believe that it's a fix-all. It works all the time. They think it's better than it is. What we know going back through history is there are periods of time where passive indexing works better, owning the stock market works better, and there's other periods of time where active investing, so actually picking out stocks, does better because the index doesn't do well. Now, the index has done great. Indexing has worked, you know, passive investing has been the best thing to do over the last 9 or 10 years. But that's the other thing we want to pay attention to, is these cycles where passive investing does better than active, where we're actually picking the stocks, those trends tend to be in 10-year lumps of time. So we're sort of at the end of that. Not saying passive is going to fall apart or anything. I'm just trying to illustrate that. Now, one of the interesting things about this, and there's some correlation, but there's another anomaly in the market that we want to look at. And this is what we will talk about, and we will show you the chart on in our free newsletter this month. So you can get on the website, again, knowyourriskradio.com. It'll take you to Bulwark's website, and you can sign up for the free newsletter. One of them is FANG stocks, right? If you guys have heard of FANG, it's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, right? Now, not all of them are at the top of the index, but they're all in the S&P 500, I believe. Yes, they have to be. And they're some of the biggest players, right? They're right at the top of the index. And everybody loves them because they've gone nothing but gone straight up. Their valuations are ridiculous, but they've been ridiculous for 5 years. Apple and Facebook, not so much, not as crazy on the valuation side at all, but, you know, still up there, pretty nuts. And they're the investor darlings. Almost everybody I sit down with owns those stocks, whether they know it or not. But most clients own them outright. I talk to clients that have 25 to 50% of their portfolio in one of those stocks, or two of those stocks, or four of those stocks. It's you know, the new tech bubble, the FANG stocks. Now, we all know that the market has done really well, but I saw a fascinating chart, and this is the chart that I was saying was going to be in the newsletter, because we talk at great length about this. Over the last year and a half, I believe is what it is, the S&P 500 has gone up, what is it? I want to say it's 14%, something like that, in the last year and a half. But if you took Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google out of it, it'd be up like 2 or 3%. Something, like I said, I don't have the specifics in front of me, but we lay them out in the newsletter and you can go see it. And then over the last, I want to say 2.5 to 3 years, that the upward surge in the stock market, the S&P 500, over 50% of that upside move can be attributed to just those five stocks. And if you're sitting there going, yeah, I know, they made me a ton of money, that shouldn't be your reaction. Your reaction should be one of, not fear, we never want to be fearful, but of caution, of concern, because anytime we see that, we call that very narrow attribution, meaning that the reason the markets are going up is because of a very few number of stocks. Anytime we see those kind of anomalies, we had the Nifty 50 stocks back in, what was it, the late 50s to late 60s, I want to say, even through parts of the 70s. Anytime we see narrow attribution in the markets to a select number of stocks, it especially over an extended period of time, it doesn't end well, especially for those stocks. Because when something goes wrong, everybody bails. And when everybody owns it, you're looking at big losses and maximum volatility. And if all you do in your portfolio is own passive indexing, passive indexes like the S&P 500, the S&P 500 right now has over 25% exposure to big technology companies, which is a record. It just crossed over the highs in 1999. Again, narrow attribution. Big tech is one of, what, 12 or 13 sectors in the S&P, yet it's making up almost 30% of the weighting. You need more diversification than just that. And if you want to know how to get that diversification, how do you like that for a transition? Smooth. If you want to talk about how we diversify that or make that a more appropriate portfolio or come up with just a better way to do things in general, but include passive. It's part of our normal portfolio recommendations. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. That'll take you to Bulwark's site. You can sign up for the free newsletter. You can go to our iTunes page, listen to all of our interviews, all of our past segments. You just spend the whole weekend listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Wouldn't that be something? Anyway, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. And we're going to discuss client questions and then also the real reason for diversification, because it's a lot different than most of you think. And it's a different way to think about things that I want you guys to hear. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. I'm here with Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday at 7. And Brian, before signing up for a plan, I attended one of your classes with my wife, learned how passionate you are about what you do and how you love to teach people about the importance of long-term care planning.
You know, I really do love educating people, Dory.
Now, why is that?
Well, someone took the time to educate my grandmother about long-term care, which meant she got the level of care she deserved, but it also meant my mom didn't have to give up her life to be a caregiver. You know, Dory, it taught me firsthand that long-term care planning protects you and the people you care about most.
Yeah, that's exactly why my wife and I put a plan in place with Brian and why I recommend you do the same. Start by joining Brian at his next long-term care planning class and learn about the most innovative plans available, like the one I got. It's going to pay me back whether I use it or not. Don't miss Brian's next class. It's Thursday, July 19th at 7 p.m. in Bellevue. There are only a few seats left, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, as always, for sticking with us. As a quick anecdotal, looking at a company called CarMax, and if you guys aren't aware, that's one of the biggest car dealerships in the world. If you want to look at what expensive stocks look like. Now, this is hardly the worst offender, okay? But you've got a car dealership trading at almost a 23 price-to-earnings multiple. That is insane. Not a bad company, just that's crazy. It's up 15% on the day. They must have had some really good announcements. And no dogging it. Not if you own it, and I'm not telling you to sell it. I just, the valuations, And this kind of goes into the client question of the week. Client, we're sitting down with a client, or potential client, excuse me, listener from the show. And he asked me, he goes, you know, how really crazy is the whole valuation thing? You know, or is it really that expensive? Because it's not a record PE. And we've talked about valuations ad nauseum on the show, so I'm not gonna kill you. And hopefully won't make you change the channel. We're not going to get into that again. But he asked me, you know, like I said, how crazy are the valuations? And, you know, I showed him some historic comparisons and just showed how outside the norm we are right now. And then I also showed him one of the reasons we're concerned about valuations is because, like I've said on the show before, and if you've listened, what you pay for an asset is the by far the biggest determination on whether it's going to be a good investment or not. That sounds like common sense. In one way, it also sounds crazy in another because you're like, well, what is the investment? Granted, but it goes into Warren Buffett's old adage that anything, any investment will be a good investment if it's bought at the right price. And run that around your brain for a little while, right? Whether we're talking about cow pasture, whether we're talking about a car. Any asset can be a great investment if it's bought at a right price. The flip side of that, which is something I think we're looking at now that, again, I don't see enough people worried about. Everybody keeps talking about the economy and what's inflation doing and what's this doing. What about valuation? If you're buying a company at 25 or 30 times earnings that's growing revenue at 3% a year, I got some news for you. That asset is not going to do well over the next 10 years. I don't know how it'll not do well. Maybe it'll be a big drop on one or two days of trading. Maybe it'll just quit growing or just start growing even more slowly. But it will not do good over the next 10 years. Why is that? Because we've got to take our eyes off the fact that they're stocks, that they go up or down. Everybody's buying stocks right now on what we call the greater fool theory. Why'd you buy that stock? Well, because I think it's going to go up. And what's the greater fool theory? It's that rather than buying an investment based on value, based on cash flow, based on things that are tangible, things that are real, that we can touch, that we can see, we can observe, we're buying them because we think a greater fool will come along and pay us a higher price. And if you want to see a perfect illustration of that, it was real estate in 2007. It was tulip bulbs in the 1600s. Where these things were completely detached from their underlying value. And that's where the stock market is. Does that mean it's going to crash? No. Not necessarily. I mean, I think we're a lot closer to a big down move and a recession than most people realize. But no, it doesn't mean there's an imminent danger of it collapsing. But if you're sitting out there on these, you know, on these passive indexings, or passive investments, which we talked about in the last segment, or you're buying these stocks because this guy said they're going to go up, pull back, look at cash flow, because right now everything is detached from reality. It won't be. One of the sayings we got in the office is, "You may not believe in gravity, but it believes in you." Right? These things are going to come down, and I think a lot of people are going to be shocked, and a lot of people are going to get hurt by it. And it's something that we need to really pay attention to. Anyway, see how we fit value into every single conversation? Some clients sit there and go, man, or, you know, Zach, you're always talking about value. Because, look, it's really the only thing that matters. There's periods of time where value investing doesn't do that well. But, or doesn't do as well as other forms of investing like growth investing. But growth investing, guys... Everybody's talking about growth. Everybody's looking at it right now. I get it. It's the cool kid and on the playground right now. But that's been going on for a long time. We got to be patient. We've got to stick to our guns. We got to stick to our fundamentals. We got to pay attention to value. We got to look at what we're making per share, the cash flow of companies. These are things that we need to be focused on, right? One of the other things that we discussed too. So I want to get into this conversation about diversification really quick. We got to go. Pretty shortly here. How much time we got left in this segment, Darren? Another 5 minutes. Okay, that gives us enough time. So the real purpose of diversification, another client question or listener question, and I actually became a client this week. But they said, Zach, have you ever heard of the term diversification? Now, I didn't misspeak, for those of you like, hey, I think he said that word wrong. Diversification, kind of a joke, meaning that maybe we should be in all stocks all the time or everybody. I've heard actual advisors give. I don't think they're advisors for very long, though, because it's horrible advice. But diversification. And I laughed and I said, yeah, I've heard of diversification. It's complete nonsense. And he goes, well, what do you mean? Why? And then it hit me. I was like, that's a great question. We're going to use that for the client question of the week. Anyway, most people and most educated investors, when you ask them what is the purpose of diversification, it goes, you don't have all your eggs in one basket. So, you know, when things go down, you won't lose as much. And that's partially right. But at least from our perspective, that's not the primary reason that we want to be diversified. Does diversification in general lower portfolio volatility? Yes, that's a nice ancillary benefit. But the real reason that we focus and insist on a proper level of diversification is so that we can be greedy. Yes, I said it. Greedy. Right? Wall Street, Michael Douglas, greed is good. Greed at the right time is good. What does diversification allow us to do? It allows us to buy things that have gone down in price. If the markets drop 40 or 50% and our portfolio goes down with it, that's a negative experience. Now, usually it'll come back. It's not the end of the world, but it's a negative experience. There's no upside. If we are properly diversified and the market goes down 40 or 50%, and let's say our portfolio is down 10 or 15%, losing 10 or 50, or not losing, I hate that term, but a portfolio reducing value or having a reduction of value of 10 to 15% is not a big deal. That can happen in a single bad month. It's not a game changer. Right? But a 40% loss is. And if we're down 10 to 15% and overall the market is down 40, again, while that's not a pleasurable experience being down 10 or 15, it's actually a great investing outcome. And why is that? Because we've only lost 10 or 15% and assets have gone down 40%. Whether we know it or not, whether we consciously acknowledge it, we just basically gained a 25% arbitrage on the market. That over a short period of time, the value of our portfolio has just went 25% larger than the market itself, right? And if we're properly diversified, what do we do then? Because if we just don't change anything and just let it ride, that doesn't provide us an advantage. But if we're properly diversified and that's the reason we only lost 10 or 15%, then we can take some of those diversified assets that didn't lose any or didn't lose as much, and we can now go buy the assets that are down 40%. That's where all the money's made. That's the real reason we diversify. Diversifying allows us to be aggressive. It allows us to take advantage of opportunities. And if you want to know how we're doing that with our clients and still making way better returns than the traditional stock bond portfolio, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com. You can email us. We can do a 15-minute phone consultation. You can request our brand new and updated version of Common Sense Investing. Get a second opinion. Call us. We'll help you out. And if nothing else, we'll at least provide you with some more information and educate you. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We got to run. Once again, happy birthday, sweetheart. And we will see you guys next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now. Get your free copy. 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.